From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, yes, oui, oui. If you're French, that means yes, yes. Apparently, if you're in Kenya, you say ndio, ndio. Why am I telling you this? I have no idea. Maybe I'm just filling up space because my head is like a vacuum today. Anyway, what's happening in the world? Well, it's been quite an epic show today, if I do say so myself. Not because of me, but because of the caliber, of the quality of the guests on which I have procured for this show for your listening pleasure. You lovely people out there. We had Jody Newell out of the blocks, and then we had Rog, tall bloke, Roger Tattersall, the big Yorkshireman, 6'8", I think, in his bare feet. He's currently in Brittany, doing up a little cottage somewhere, and he's kindly invited me to come along and stay, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to surprise him someday. Still got Ian Davis to come. What's happening in the world at the minute, my little editorial, which I'm wont to do. Well, interest rates, yeah, nasty, dirty subject. Interest rates, the UK is bracing itself as the biggest hike in decades is predicted. Mm-hmm. Another tick in the I told you so box. We've been talking about this all year. They're only going one way, and that is up. Inflation's only going one way, and that is up. The economy and the house prices is going one way, and that is down. Yes, and even in the US, the Fed have just increased their interest rates for the sixth time this year, and they predict another one by year end. 7 rates it rises in a year. That's every 7 weeks. 7 weeks they're jacking them up. Not 7 months or 7 years, every 7 weeks. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So yes, brace yourself, UK. But if you've been following sound, sage advice from myself and many other people online and yourselves as well, you know what time it is. Prepare. Don't be silly with your money. Prepare. Set a little bit aside and brace yourselves for the inevitable. A teenage boy allegedly raped at hotel housing refugees in London. Shock, horror, not. The footage that I'm seeing being taken by independent investigative journalists in and around these centres for illegal, unvetted, unknown gangsters coming into the country is unbelievable. Some of them are even ratting on the roofs because they don't like the food. I would like to be the customer relations officer in one of those hotels. I've got a little implement here that I keep not far away from me, would solve that problem pretty damn quick. I'm not going to tell you what that is. Cold, hungry migrants left stranded in London. Boo hoo. Guess what? They're getting to experience the UK citizen homeless experience. Cold, hungry, on the streets. Welcome to the UK. Yeah, welcome to the UK. If you don't like it, piss off. That's my humble advice to you. Go back from whence you came. That's my policy. The King joined celebrations at Buckingham Palace to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the arrival of British Asians from Uganda to the United Kingdom. I didn't even know what that story was going to be. I've just clicked on it. I kid you not. The King, King Charles III, has joined celebrations celebrating in Buckingham Palace the 50th anniversary of the arrival of British Asians from Uganda to the UK. That's what he's celebrating today. That's good. I'm happy for you, Charlie. I'm happy that you've got sought all else to do than celebrate in Buckingham Palace. UK environmental watchdog confronts Theresa Coffey over missed targets. Scottish islanders consider running their own ferry services. Manston Asylum Centre does not operate legally, concedes a minister. So why is it still open? I heard that little toad Jenrick last night. Oh, I'm working night and day. I'm working night and day to make sure it's legal and these people are treated with compassion. Wah, 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 wah. Jenrick, you're a toad. You always have been a little toad and you always will be a little toad. It's unfit for purpose and the people, the vast majority of them going in there, are illegal. Home Office is denying it is to blame for asylum seekers being left stranded in London. Of course it's not to blame. Of course it's not to blame. How could it be the Home Office's fault? The Albanian Prime Minister said something very true today. He said, don't blame us for the migrants problem. It's your own government's fault. I agree, sadly, with the President or the Prime Minister of Albania on this issue. It's not their fault. And if I was a little person sitting in another country, I would be glancing my beady little eyes at the UK and I would be making my way there too. So I'm not actually, believe it or not, I'm not knocking the people that are coming here. The doors are open, the incentives are there, and I would be doing exactly the same thing. The culprits in all of this is the government, in my humble opinion, allegedly, etc., etc. Covering myself, caveats and all that in case I get jailed. Do you know what? I don't give a damn. Come and get me. But anyway, the sun is shining and TNT, I believe, is shining too. What a beautiful place to spend the morning on TNT Radio. And I know there's a lot of you out there on the chat, which is fantastic. Just to let you know, our chat function's available, tntradio.live. Scroll to the bottom of the screen. There's a chat box function. We also have a soapbox function if you want to take it a step further. If you want to actually record your voice and record your face. Yes, your face, and put it up on our website. You can do that as well. Leave us a message. Interact with us as we are trying our best to interact with you here on TNT Radio.
Count on us to deliver the facts.
I can rely on that.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. The legend that is Darren of TNT Radio, he and I we've been thrashing this issue out pretty much all week, and it's not going away, so we're not going away. Some information that we're going to dissect here. 1 in 6 people living in the UK were born elsewhere, so 16%, and this number will grow quickly as most of them are young and fertile. Yes, we know what that means, don't we? The consensus hides the true nature of immigration because it does not include illegal immigrants or asylum seekers, etc. There's other facts and figures there that you have gleaned, Darren. I'm going to let you divulge some of them out here. Quite an interesting info find that you have here in terms of demographics, percentages, makeup, London, etc. What's going on?
Yeah, so we did in the UK, we had the once every decade census of the UK population and households. The sum of this information, very top level information, was released earlier on in the year, sometime around summer. But the full detail of the census was kept back for reasons that are pretty much unknown to me or to anyone else. And there were obviously the concern was, one, we had the election of, you know, the Liz Truss saga and the Rishi saga. Mm-hmm. And it might very well be that they didn't politically, it was not a good idea to release some of this information to the public. And they just don't, it appears, having read some of this document, it's quite extensive, they look like they're trying to hide some of the data using language and terms and statistics to hide the true nature of population increase in the UK. So in Wales and England, the population in those two countries combined is now almost 60 million. If you add in Scotland and Northern Ireland, it's up to about 67 million UK population. That's the UK, the England-Wales population has increased by it's only a few percent, but for residents outside of the UK, that it's increased by 7.5 million in the last 10 years, or 10 million since 2001. So that's quite a big increase. It's about 13.4% increase in foreign-born nationals in the UK. Now, the actual demographics, who these people are, is quite well hidden. You know, I searched a document for Africa, for Asians, for Eritreans, and none of these words appear anywhere in their document. Okay, their Poland and Polish appears quite often, and well, the immediate realization to me was the census is only good for the people that complete it. Yeah, so that there are, you won't find, you'll find lots of asylum seekers in the UK, but you won't find any of them are in the data of this census. So out of the 59.6 million usual residents in England and Wales in 2021, almost 50 million of them, 83% of them were born in the UK. 10 million were born outside of the UK. As you already said, that makes one in six people in the UK not born here. They will be foreigners. Now you add in all the asylum seekers on top of that. We see actually that's quite a large number, one in six. You know, that's quite a startling figure. And the size of the non-UK population has risen since 2011 by 7.5 million, or sorry, 7.5 million since 2001, 4.2 million since 2011. So the UK foreign population that has arrived, so the actual natural population increase is 42.4% foreigners since 2011. The majority of the people are the countries that are associated where people have been born from in the UK. So India dominates. So that's like the number one foreign national in the UK, followed by Poland, Pakistan, and then Romania, which does get a mention quite often in this document. There has been a huge increase in people born in Romania living in the UK. That Romania is an EU country, and we have Brexited. And so you have to wonder why there has been such a big increase in those pickpockets that come over here to scour the streets of London. I'm not saying all Romanians are pickpockets, but it is associated.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Just make sure you put either a rubber band or a chain on your wallet. That's all I'm saying.
So, since 2001, there has been an increase of 7 million non-UK residents, or people who were born outside of the UK. And the way this has been split out is, they said, they've got a number for people living here before 2001 who weren't born in the UK, and that was 3.1 million. Now, if you think about that 3.1 million, people who were born outside of the UK before 2001, that's since records began. And that would also include all the people that we brought here from the West Indies. It would include people that we brought here from India, and Pakistan, and the other Commonwealth colonies, if you want to call that. Am I allowed to say colonies? From around the UK, from around the world. Actually, there's been a massive increase of immigration of 70%. Increase, yeah, in the total number of immigrants who are living in the UK and have completed the census. So, I suspect that a lot of the information that we would thought we might see in this document and this report, which has just been released by the ONS, is actually not there, or very cleverly hidden within the language and the statistics that they've used, and almost certainly isn't taken into account of anyone here that has arrived here illegally. Yeah. And again, that's another word that doesn't appear in their 2021 migrant census data. The word illegal doesn't appear anywhere. Asylum seeker, illegal immigrant, refugee, and none of those terms appear anywhere that I can find. And you really would think, for a look at population, that data should be in the census, shouldn't it?
It should. And here's the thing, just to round this one up, okay, that word illegal is very important. People seem to brush over it or not even take it into consideration. There's people actually proposing, well, if the illegal immigrants were working or somehow, you know, doing a little bit of community service to justify, you know, them not mooching around and sitting in hotels, would that be acceptable? No. They're illegal immigrants, all right? So if they're illegal, giving them work to do or giving them community service to do or giving them something to occupy their time that they're not hanging around, you know, intimidating people, they're still illegal. Does that make sense? Or are people just simply omitting the word illegal? If they're illegal, it means they shouldn't be here or they came here without going through the right process. I have a few guests that I get on here regularly from Mexico that are expats. They're Brits who have went out to Mexico. Here's the bottom line. If you wanted to go to Mexico, Darren, and I decided to relocate, there's no problem with that, but we'll be asked questions. Okay, Rick, how are you going to support yourself when you get here? No job, piss off. You know, how are you going to, have you any criminal record? Yeah, piss off. End off. No problem. Hakuna Matata. All right. So that's the way they operate and it works very well. If you want to come into that country, you have to show that you will be somehow not a threat to the people that are in the vicinity. And number two, that you will be able to support yourself or contribute to their economy, in which case you'll be invited in for a trial period and your visa will be progressively extended and then you can apply for Mexican citizenship. Is it just me or is that common sense? Is that too old fashioned for most
people?
Yeah, Rick,
you're talking common sense again, aren't you? I mean, Australia used to have a similar sort of policy where you would need to have X amount of money and, you know, you might have to turn up with a couple of hundred grand in your bank, somewhere to live already when you get there. And there would be a list of jobs that were desirable that you'd need to have a skill in. You know, if you're a teacher like I am, that might be a good way of me being able to access Australia because it's a skill they need. Whereas in the UK, you just turn up on an inflatable dinghy. Yeah, you get put in a hotel, you get fed, you'll be warm, while the rest of the very poorest in our country are suffering with the food prices and energy crisis and whatever fear and propaganda is pushed on them, and which natives of the UK are almost being discriminated against in favor of people who have just rocked up on our shores, Rick. So,
We need to take a leaf out of Mexico's book. In my opinion, my humble opinion, we need to be taking a leaf out of somewhere like Mexico's book, because do you know what? It's working. And the people that I know that have moved there have said it's working very well. The government's happy, the locals are happy, and the people coming into the country are also happy. They're managing to keep a lid on it. But as I said, that's common sense, which is also known as racism or, you know, anti-humanitarianism or extreme right-wing views. But in the old days, it was called common sense. But anyway, Darren, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your input and digging out those stats, those facts and figures. Hopefully we'll get talking again tomorrow. I'll be back after these short ads here on TNT Radio with Mr. Ian Davis. Please don't go away.
You should hear what Hervoy Morich is talking about.
Shanghai Disney has become the latest high-profile venue to shut its gates thanks to China's strict zero COVID policy, trapping visitors inside. People have been told they will not be allowed out of the theme park until they can show a negative test. Hotel California by the Eagles. You know, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. And Halloween, of all, it's really like the perfect setting for a dystopian horror film. Lock down, you cannot leave Disneyland in Shanghai on Halloween. It's absolutely insane. This COVID-1984 forever. The biomedical security state, it ain't going away.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can't happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com. on air,
and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay. I am happy to be joined again by Mr. Ian Davis. I'm not going to lie. He's sitting in a very dodgy looking van. It looks like he's turned and he's now working for the Metropolitan Police, staking out some opium den or crack house somewhere in England. Ian, what are you up to?
Oh, I'm taking a leaf out of your book, Rick, and I'm broadcasting from my van.
You know what? Isn't it a great place to broadcast? You don't get any jip, you don't get any trouble, and if anybody gives you any aggro, you just start up that engine and you go somewhere quieter. It's a wonderful place to work, isn't it?
Well, it would be if I was using my phone, but I'm not. I'm sat here, like, I've set up the control room of NASA, so I can't move at the moment. So
Well, let's hope you don't get any disturbances. And if you do, you know, you can swivel the camera around. I'll give them a piece of my mind and maybe they'll take themselves off. But anyway, Ian, it's great to see you again. Ian Davis, by the way, is an all-seeing, all-knowing type guy who's done a lot of research in a lot of areas over a very long period of time. You can hook up with him on Twitter at _InThisTogether. And also he has a website, Ian Davis, IaianDavis.com, and he's also a regular contributor for the likes of UK Column, amongst many other esteemed outlets and publications, etc. So it's always good to have you on here. I think we have a lot to talk about today. Amnesties are being discussed. Amnesties. Pandemic amnesties. People want to forget about the horrors that they've committed on other people over the last years and just simply let bygones be bygones. There's talk on the world stage, especially from New Zealand, where there's a very bizarre individual, very bizarre looking individual, I might say, and that's rich coming from me, but a very bizarre looking individual who's now the head of what looks like their information Stasi. Some woman with a curly forelock hanging over her forehead talking about dubbing in your friends and relatives if they show signs of terrorism by disagreeing with what the government says. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I can't remember her name. You're right, Rick, but she's the head of the New Zealand Intelligence Service. So they're part of the Five Eyes, so you know, yeah. she's an important individual in that respect. But I think what we're seeing is the next phase in the progress of a narrative that began many years ago, and it's kind of, you know, it's based upon this idea of fake terror events, and basically linking any criticism of government, ultimately where this is leading to, and it's been obvious for many years where it's leading to, is to a point where any criticism of government policy, particularly if you criticize things like, for example, COVID-19 policy, or as we've seen recently from the BBC, if you dare to question a terror event that we are all required to believe, then you know, if you do things like that, then you are going to be called a terrorist. And and I think we're very close to that. Yeah. That's something that I've been writing about for a fair few years. I mean, we can go all the way back to, you know, in recent times, we can go back to 2019, and The Guardian were writing about anti-vaxxers attacking people in Pakistan. I mean, they weren't anti-vaxxers. They were attacking vaccine distribution centers, but they were people like the Pakistan Taliban. And they weren't attacking them because they thought that vaccines were dangerous. They were attacking them because they thought that the vaccine centers were fronts for Pakistan intelligence. So, but that didn't matter to The Guardian. The point was that The Guardian were trying to make is that these were anti-vaxxer terrorists. And that narrative is being built. And we're very, very close, I think, now to a point where people like you and I will be called radical extremists yes. that are promoting yes. terrorism.
Radicalization. That's a word, actually. The clip that I saw coming from Jacinda Ardern and her henchwoman, if I don't know what her story is, she's appearing at these, they all look ghoulish. They've all got these washed out ghoulish features. And I mean, I hate talking about people's appearance. Genuinely, I'm nobody to talk about anybody, but I'm just saying on the whole, the people that are manifesting on the world stage, they look ghoulish. They genuinely look ghoulish. Blair looks ghoulish. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, they look ghoulish. Ardern and her hench men and women, they do look ghoulish. That's a fact. And the stuff that they're coming out with, the word radicalized is being used a lot. You've published an article recently on the UK column mid-October on this, blaming anyone who questions COVID-19 policy for a new wave of terrorism. I want to look at the rhetoric that they're using to try and start to paint people like us, as you said, as radicalized or extremists or people who maybe would be promoters of terrorism. We've got to take a real super short news break. And when we come back, I want to run at this one, this article that you've wrote, because I also agree with you. I think we're on the verge of a very disturbing time in censorship and the increased demonization of people that have a dissenting view to those who are in power, in inverted commas, on the world stage. So we'll do that when we come back with Ian Davis here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. The teenage gunman who shot and killed 17 people with a semi-automatic rifle at a high school in Parkland, Florida, 4 years ago, has been jailed for life. The world's richest man has vowed to make Twitter the world's most accurate source of information, and it's been revealed America's two largest teachers' unions have donated millions of dollars to campaigns supporting the re-election of a Democratic governor.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, Ian, in your own words, you put a post up on Twitter yesterday, and in your own words, and rightly so, the trajectory is clear. As many have warned, dissent against government policy won't be tolerated at all in the near future. The excuse, yet again, is a manufactured terror threat. This narrative has been systematically constructed over recent decades. And as you've said, you've been covering this for a long time. You've seen the evolution of this to reach the point that we're at now, whereby this year alone in 2022, we've been, people who have went against narratives have been openly demonized and criticized by so-called leaders, so-called press corporations, family members, employers, pressurized, victimized, bank accounts have been frozen, people have been deplatformed, money has been held by the like of PayPal, even charitable donations have been held by GoFundMe, Canadian Truckers. This has all happened in the space of the last 9 months since February, since Ottawa/Ukraine began. And it doesn't seem to show any signs of let up. Now, radicalized is coming into the equation. If you're talking against what the government says or you suggest they're dystopian or tyrannical, you've been radicalized. If you're concerned about your family members, tell someone in authority because they may be on their path to terrorism. It doesn't bode well. Trajectory is a good word. I like that word, trajectory. The trajectory is not good on this, is it?
No. And I mean, I think I'm not the only one that's been sort of highlighting this for a number of years. The purpose is I suppose the way you could look at it, and I mean, you have to say, you could look at Vladimir Putin's speech at the Valdai, at the recent Valdai discussion club, where he highlighted the homogenous nature of the kind of Western political, I guess you could call it progressive liberal ideology, which brooks no dissent. You're not allowed to disagree in their minds with whatever they say or declare to be a fact. You know, evidence and so forth is irrelevant. They're not. It doesn't matter how much evidence you can cite. It doesn't matter how reasonable the arguments that you make. If you if you challenge this authoritarian, and let's face it, it's increasingly looking like dictatorship. You know, if you challenge the dictatorship, which of course is the nature of a dictatorship anyway, so that's something that you might expect. If you challenge the dictatorship, then you will be censored. You will be shut down. This is obvious where we're going. It's obvious. The woman that we were speaking about earlier, I think her name's Ketteridge, who's the head of the New Zealand Intelligence Service. I'll just look that up. Yeah, I mean, she's been basically saying, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to link this concept of what they're calling a conspiracy theorist. So, to extremism and therefore terrorism. So they can bring in counter-terrorism legislation to apply to extremists who they call conspiracy theorists, and conspiracy theorists are basically, I mean, there's no such thing as a conspiracy theory. No. It's complete garbage. What the whole narrative is based upon pseudoscience, and you know, even the process of radicalization, no one really understands it. No one's done any sort of meaningful research into it. The UN raconteur for looking at this, I think as recently as 2019, said basically there is no evidence of any link between, for example, watching YouTube videos and radicalization. The whole concept of radicalization is misunderstood, or rather not understood. So that their whole idea that they're basing this whole thing on, the whole process that they claim to be a reality, isn't a reality. It's just a way of censoring anyone who questions their dictatorial rule.
Yeah. On that note, obviously there's been since you were last on here, there's been a lot of moving in a lot of different areas. The platform of Twitter in particular, obviously Musk has now completed his takeover. He's moving in. You know, I use that place as a platform. At the minute, I can pretty much say what I like. I use it as a means to an end, but I don't depend on it. I don't rely on it. And I certainly don't have any faith in it that it is the way forward for freedom of speech, the digital town hall that the world so desperately needs. I have my own views about Musk, none of which are particularly good, given his background and the other things that he's involved in. However, people have this concept that, okay, we can now say what we like, we can operate unfettered, but he himself has said the content moderation policy has not been changed yet, so don't just go crazy with what you're writing in there. And the staff that he's assembling to be the moderators of the moderation, you know, are questionable as well to begin with. You know, people, I think, have a very misplaced faith in social media, that somehow it's going to be their road to freedom and they can say whatever they like. The reality is something very much altogether. And Musk himself was told by some EU gangster earlier this week that he had spoken to previously in an interview. He said, the bird, he may think the bird is set free. We decide if the bird's set free. So I know that Ofcom ultimately could be the arbiters of what is freedom of speech in the UK. And you might be able to say what you like on Twitter, but if Ofcom don't like what Twitter's saying, they'll slap Twitter with a fine or ban Twitter in the country. This illusion, it's like escaping from one cage and into another one. In reality, people are too focused with Twitter. They don't understand what's going on behind the scenes with the online harms bill and the power that Ofcom could be granted. They've already done it with RT News. They've already done it with Sputnik. I can't access these platforms in the UK because they're banned by our regulator. So who really holds the power? Who really holds the strings of power here? It's certainly not bloody Elon Musk.
No, and I mean Elon Musk's I would suggest is a questionable person to put your faith into, definitely. But I mean, think about what we're talking about now. We are talking about spaces where we can speak freely. We're looking, we're searching. We're not the only ones, you know, millions of people around the world are searching for places where they can speak freely. We're accepting that we can't speak freely in certain places. That certain places. I mean, I think we can look at, you know, you can look at this in academia, in these that started with so-called safe spaces, you know, way back. You know, we're talking, you know, more than a decade ago. This idea that we all seem to be suddenly accepting of, that free speech should be monitored and curtailed in some way. I fundamentally reject that idea. I realize that there is, you know, if you look at somebody like, you know, the British philosopher Sir John Stuart Mill, who spoke about the difference between legitimate and illegitimate harm. There, we already have laws in this country to stop things like incitement. So, you know, it is not right to stand in front of a burning building and, you know, or to stand at the back of a theater and shout fire. You know, that is, there are legitimate times when we do need to be careful about what we say. But broadly speaking, the society that we are supposed to inhabit is allegedly a democracy. Now, in a democracy, one of the foundations of that, one of the principles, the fundamental principles of democracy is free speech. Mm-hmm. And we seem to be now celebrating the fact that some multi-billionaire oligarch has decided that we can have free speech in this corner of the internet, mm-hmm. or we can have free speech, you know, perhaps on this platform, but not on this mm-hmm. one. Because the government might not approve of what we say. So since when have we needed the... Who cares if the government approves of what mm-hmm. we say? I don't.
No. Do you not find there's like a spectrum now? There's a spectrum whereby there's like levels of free speech on the internet. So on the social media platforms, you have places like YouTube and Facebook that are super strict. You have Instagram that is really strict. You have Twitter that is strict. You have Telegram and allegedly Getter and BitChute that are not as strict. But the bottom line is you're still tippy-toeing around in eggshells when it comes to certain things, to the point where people are now using emoticons or emojis instead of words. So they'll put a syringe there instead of saying injection, and they'll put a little green blob with spikes instead of saying COVID, because they're afraid of saying these words or calling them jibby jabs or whatever else, you know, as instead of saying what they are, they're lethal injections or they're clot shots or they're whatever this. That's what we have been reduced to in 2022. And anybody that can't see that that's a major problem, where you can't actually use the word COVID injection in a statement, you have to put two little pictures, one with a syringe and the other a green blob with little spikes in it. That ain't good, my friend. That is not a sign of an advanced, well-functioning democratic society. It's like being back at school, throwing notes across the classroom in little balls and hoping and praying the teacher doesn't see it because you've said that Ian Davis, he's a piece of, you know what, I hate him, he's a crap teacher. Then you see it, then you get a slap, you get a detention. It's almost like being back at school.
Yeah, and because they treat us like children. You know, we are children to be children or sheep or whatever. I mean, we're being farmed. It's very difficult for me to even kind of contemplate how we have arrived at this situation. I mean, how has it been possible? I know how, because I've been looking at it for a long time. It's, you know, what David Icke called the totalitarian tiptoe. It is incrementally taking away more of our rights, more of our freedoms, not in big sweeping moves, but in little steps, little incremental steps, until you get to the point we're at now, where people like the head of an intelligence agency can seriously advocate a policy of the you know, let's, you know, as you pointed out earlier, a Stasi-like policy in a supposed Western democracy where people are being encouraged to spy on their neighbors and report them if they think they might express an unacceptable view. Because that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, it is. And then what? What do they do? Do they wheel you and me off to a reprogramming center? Do they sit us in a white room and blast us with white noise and get us to recant and sign a waiver to say we'll never be dissenting voices again? You know, will we see Guantanamo Bay type places appearing? Will we get waterboarded? This sounds ludicrous, what I'm saying, but you know what? It ain't far away, and this is the old tip, totalitarian tiptoe, and that's not an easy thing to say at 11:45 on a Thursday afternoon when you've been broadcasting all week. The totalitarian tiptoe is very much being executed on us, and anybody that can't see it, just cast your mind back 12 months. Look at the clampdown there's been in 12 months, and it doesn't just mean your online speech. They can shut your bank account down. They can sack you from your job if they don't like what you're saying online. It is not good. The trajectory is not good. Ian, we've got to take another quick ad break. When we come back, I actually want to look at Serco, the company Serco, not in depth per se, but they are a presence at the moment that are operating in the UK with huge government contracts, buying up accommodation or taking over accommodation for people that are coming into the country either legally or illegally. We'll be back in 2 minutes to discuss this issue with Ian Davis. Please don't go away.
Say what? Dogs cause global warming and global warming harms dogs?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
CNN reports that dogs' meat-heavy diet is making their carbon paw prints oversized. Studies are showing that dogs and cats play a significant role in causing global warming, equal to 3.6 million cars on the road. But while dogs are causing global warming, they're also becoming affected by global warming. One study by pet behavioralists claimed that global warming is causing dogs to become depressed. Pet behavioralists are blaming wet winters for an increase in pet depression. But before the science goes to the dogs, actress Emma Thompson is on record as foreseeing people eating dogs for protein due to the upcoming climate crisis. According to Thompson, we should remember, quote, there's a surprising amount of protein in the average household pet. Are you ready to eat your dog because of alleged global warming? I sure hope not. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
It's never a burden to fight for truth. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm joined again, at least for the next 13 minutes, by Ian Davis from, well, contributor to many places, including UK Column. He has his own website, iandavis.com, iaindavis.com. He's also an author, amongst the many other strings he has to his bow, and it is coming up to that most wonderful time of the year again. Yes, Christmas. You might want to wonder, if you haven't killed her, what to get Granny for Christmas this year. One of Ian's tomes may not be out of the question. Get on there, have a peruse, and support your local friendly neighborhood, Ian Davis. Ian, Serco, government contracts, billions, immigrants, hotels, staff laid off, people put in, we pay your maintenance, we pay your bills, blah, blah, blah. Serco, what do you know about them?
Well, it's a public-private partnership, isn't it, between Serco and the government? You know, these public-private partners, they are, I think it's important to understand, when the government talk about their industry partners, which you often see in numerous government documents, it is an equal partnership, at the very least. It's an equal partnership. So when you've got, and there's this constant revolving door between the boardroom and political office and senior positions in, you know, for example, the former head of the civil service, Mark Sedwell, when he left, he got a position straight away with Rothschild's bank. So, I mean, the guy's got no experience of banking whatsoever. He knows nothing about banking. He's never, but he just seamlessly moves, of course, over to N.M. Rothschild's. Mm-hmm. So this incestuous relationship between the public sector and the private sector is the core at the what they're calling stakeholder capitalism. Mm-hmm. So what we are seeing with Serco and the immigrant crisis. So think about it. Your business model is providing services and accommodation to, in this case, immigrants that have come into the country illegally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your partner, the government, sets the policies which enable that to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's a brilliant partnership, isn't it? That's an absolutely mm-hmm. fantastic. What a fantastic cottage industry to mm-hmm. start up and then move to the next level so that everybody's happy. Apart from the people that are living in communities whose local services and whose hospitals and whose schools and whose, you know, perhaps law enforcement services and so forth can't cope mm-hmm. with the influx of that number of people. But they don't matter because they're just public who the government are supposed to serve. But they're not serving the people, they're serving Serco, because Serco exactly. and the government are partners.
You see, here's the thing. This is something I've been really focusing on over the last few weeks, is the whole illegal immigration setup. It is catastrophic. It can only end in tears, many people's tears being shed. It's just a disastrous setup from start to finish. This business of Serco, the Albanian prime minister, because Albania has been in the spotlight, a lot of people piling in from Albania, especially young men. The Albanian PM has came on and said, listen, don't blame me for the immigration fiasco that's going on. It's your own government's fault. And he's right. So you have the government who are entering into partnership with a company to provide services to people that are entering the country illegally. And not only that, but they're saying, if you put them into this property, we will maintain the property for you. We will take care of any council tax payments for you. We will take care of any other expenditure. Just let us take care of it. And if you, as a landlord, Ian Davis, if you had a property and you were having difficulty finding regular tenants, or you were having a lot of maintenance and upkeep, of course you're going to be tempted to sign your property over to Serco. They'll pay you a big fat check, they'll take over the property maintenance, they'll become the de facto landlord, and they'll take care of who's coming in and out. And if the place gets wrecked, they'll pay for any repairs, they'll pay for your electricity bills. Why wouldn't you take it? And if you're an Albanian, and you looked over here at the land of milk and honey, and you thought to yourself, well, if I can make myself to the shores, I'll get put up in one of these Serco properties. Why wouldn't you come? The problem and the fault and the blame must 100% lie at the feet of the British government and the companies that they're entering into these public-private partnerships with, i.e. Serco. People are just seeing the dinghies on the beach. They should be looking at the government and the fact that companies like Serco are in existence to enable all this to happen at all, because if they weren't there and the people were simply going to be told, okay, you've landed on the shores, you're going to sleep on the shores, you're not getting any further, problem solved straight away. Who would make that channel crossing unless they were going to get well looked after? It's a real mess, and it's being aided and abetted by our own governments first and foremost. They're the culprits in all this.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I mean, people trafficking is a multi-billion dollar global industry. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's not just our government that are colluding in this. It's the governments are working together. We've got to look at the French government as well. Why would, you know, the idea of someone who is a quote a refugee is that they are fleeing oppression. Now, I am absolutely supportive of people that are fleeing that kind of violence and oppression, which, let's be honest, our governments have been instrumental in causing all around the world, right? So we you know, what you might call the Western unipolar world order, or whatever you want to call it, have been going around the world in places like Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan and countries like that. And you have to say, you know, places like Bosnia and other parts in Eastern Europe and the former CIS satellite states, causing untold misery and grief and dropping bombs on them. So those people have got a right to find sanctuary and a need to find sanctuary. But the whole point of a refugee is that they're coming from a place that's not safe. Well, is France not safe? Is Germany not safe? So there is an additional inducement to come from France to the UK. And who is providing that inducement? Serco.
Yep.
Who are Serco's partners? The British government.
The British government. And I'm agreeing with you 100%. And I try and make this clear often because I get quite passionate about this subject. If anyone is under threat of death and anybody is under pain of death and persecution and they need to flee to a safe haven, and we have the capacity to put somebody up and to take care of them, at least as an interim measure, well, then by all means, let's consider that. But the problem is, as well, as I'm sure you would see in your neck of the woods, people are being stepped over. UK citizens who are homeless, have lost their homes, have lost their businesses, have fallen on hard times, are being stepped over, and these illegal immigrants are being prioritized when in a lot of cases, they're just simply economic migrants. They're seeing a land of milk and honey. They want to try and cross, you know, the Jordan and make it to the promised land. And who could blame them? Let's be honest with you, who could blame them? But again, the way the thing is set up, it's attractive to people to come here illegally. And when they get here illegally, they're then put up by the same government that says they're here illegally. It's a real racket, I think is the best way to describe it. It is a racket. And I'm sorry that there's not more of an emphasis put on the likes of these public government partnerships, public-private partnerships, rather than the people landing on the shores. That's where the focus is. We should be forgetting those people, as it were, and saying, well, who's enabling them to come here and who's providing the accommodation and the incentives for them to come? It's Serco. It's the government. They're the people that need our attention, I would say, rather than those people rocking up on the dinghies after having had a channel crossing, probably assisted by the RNLI, where you throw your coins into the little blue lifeboat once a year, you know, and they're rattling it on the high street. You know, it's not their fault either. They have to save lives. But the fact of the matter is, these people are being wafted across by the Navy as well. It's a racket. Racket. I should have been involved in people trafficking. I could have made a fortune instead of being on the bloody radio, instead of you writing articles and shit. We should form a people trafficking business. What do you think, Ian? Maybe as a wee sideline?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an absolutely disgusting industry. I mean, it's you know, and I mean, when you think about it, the people that are coming to these shores as well, they are, as you said, they're coming here with an image of a land of milk and honey. Well, who gave them that image? Because what they're going to end up facing probably when they arrive is a detention centre run by Serco, in effect. Right. So, and then what jobs are they going to go into? They're going to go into the lowest low pay. They're going to go into the sub economy. That is the economy that is, they're going to end up in modern, a large percentage of them, especially the children, are going to end up in modern day slavery. That's where that's their land of milk and honey that they thought they might access. It will be generations for people like, you know, or they'll be induced into criminal activity because that's the only way that they can survive. So, you know, there are also amongst that group of people, undoubtedly, if you're talking about people coming from Albania, everybody knows. I mean, are you going to just stick your head in the sand and pretend that there is no such thing as the Albanian mafia? You know, of course they're involved in the whole process of smuggling people, you know, across across the channel. And of course, they are in part of the people that are coming across. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is just an absolute recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And it is, and like every other disaster that we have seen unfold over the last, well, let's just say since the beginning of the pseudo pandemic, it's policy, it's created by policy, it is created yeah. by the government, and yet we still imagine that we can elect another one that's going to fix it. People need to start getting their head around the idea that the government are the problem.
Amen. And that's what I'm trying to paint the picture of here. It's not the people crossing. It's not even the landlords that are giving the properties to circle. It's the government. The government is the enemy. No doubt about it. Ian, we are up to time. Time is our enemy today, actually. We're up to time. IanDavis.com. Check him out at In This Together on Twitter. Thank you very much, sir. Lovely talking to you. Have a great day. We'll stay in touch. Maybe get hooked up with you again sooner rather than later. Locked and loaded. Don't go away. Patrick Henningsen is on the way. I'm out.